Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
Look, a few weeks ago, Jason and I noticed that in our house that there was a smell growing. And we tried to track down where this smell was coming from. So, of course, we looked at the food bins, we changed the normal bins, we looked at the fridge. I even went to the potato and onion drawer and looked at that and made sure there was nothing rotting there, but couldn't find anything. But every time we came home, that stench would hit us again, and we're like, something's not right. There's something, it smells like something is dying in this house. Like, I was worried that maybe a mouse or a rat had died in the walls or something, and it was hidden, because I just couldn't find where is this smell coming from. And then one day, I was at home, and I was making myself lunch, and I open up the drawer, and I pull out the sandwich press. And as I pull out the sandwich press, the lid of a ceramic dish fell off. And to my horror, inside this dish was a black, decaying mess. What happened? Well, 3 weeks earlier, I had been at my in-law's house. And my mother-in-law, my beautiful mother-in-law, Esther, said to me, "Listen, I've got all these dishes. Would you take one home with you?" And I said, yeah, I'm sure I'll use it. So she packs it away in the bag after dinner. But what I didn't realize is that she had put prawn linguine pasta in the dish to bless us. And I should have known this, because she always sends us home with leftovers. So I should have known. But instead, what do? When I go home, I take that dish and I just put it away in the cupboard. And for three weeks, this prawn linguine pasta was rotting. It was being ignored. It was unseen, but it was slowly turning to a sludge. Until now, it was completely unrecognizable. It had no sign, barely a sign of what used to exist. It was unrecognizable. It looked nothing. It smelled nothing what it had once been, the yummy dish that it had once been. Now, it might sound a little bit dramatic, but some of our lives can be a little bit like this. Parts of our lives that over time become unrecognizable from what it used to be. It used to have a sign of life. There used to be potential there. There used to be passion there. There used to be health. There used to be opportunities. There used to be vision, great relationships, maybe wealth. But now when you look at it, there's barely a sign of what used to be there or what you hoped would be there by now. There's this stench of death. Where there was once vision and hope, over time through disappointment and bad news, now you find yourself asking the question, God, is restoration here even possible? God, can you really bring this back to life? We read a passage this week as a church in Ezekiel chapter 37. And we read here about a vision that Ezekiel had for a people who were asking these very same questions. So we're going to read it together. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10. It's a bit of a passage, so read along with us. The hand of the Lord was on me. Of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was still no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. I want to preach a message today called Dry Bones Come Alive. Dry Bones Come Alive. Now, at the time that this was written, the Israelites had been in captivity in Babylon for 10 years. They were far from home, they had no temple, they didn't have their homes, they were scattered, they were displaced. And how did they get here? Why were they here? Because they were disobedient to God. God had warned them repeatedly. He said to them, if they continue to reject me and my ways, then I will take them out of the land that I gave them. Now, we don't like this part of God. We like the God of grace and the God of compassion. And he is that. But God is also a holy God, and he has standards. So he repeatedly warned them. They, for years, they turned their back on him. And so in his mercy, he sent the prophets who warned them. He said, and called them back to repentance, but they refused to listen. And so on and on it went until God allowed the Babylonians to conquer them, take them into captivity. And he didn't do this out of cruelty. He did it to try and awaken their hearts, to call them back to himself, that they would see their need for him. So their rebellion fell into three categories: idolatry, immorality, and ingratitude. And all of these are still alive and well in the church and in our culture today. And the enemy loves it because it's a slippery slope. You see, it starts with idolatry, which is putting anything above God, seeking fulfillment in created things. That then leads to immorality because we end up living by the standards of the thing we worship. If we don't worship God, we live by the standards of whatever is happening around us. And we live by those standards, not God's. And then comes ingratitude, because if we live for pleasure, then we're not grateful, we're entitled for every good thing that God gives us. So remember here, they are exiled, but they're not physically dead. They're exiled, but not physically dead. In fact, it says in verse 11, it says that the Israelites, this is how they felt, that our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. That's how they felt. So this message, this vision wasn't a message about literally resurrecting people from the dead. It was a message about restoring hope to a people that felt completely abandoned by God, cut off from his promises, and they felt completely hopeless. This is what was going on. Now, it's pretty clear that God is speaking directly to the Israelites here. But have you ever felt like your life was a valley of dry bones? Have you ever felt that there was something in your life that once had purpose and joy and vision, but now it seems lifeless. It seems like it's never going to come to pass. It feels dead. Maybe you don't know where God is in that place in your life. You don't know what God is doing there. For some of us, if we're honest, our marriage is a valley of dry bones. There's no communication. It's disconnected. It's just coexisting. But it wasn't always that way. People don't go to the altar and say, I think this is going to last about 5 years. No, we make our vows and we have such hope of what our life will be. Maybe it's in your finances. It's like a valley of dry bones. Once you felt secure, but now it's like you're watching every dollar. You're in debt and you have no idea how you're going to get out of it. Maybe it's you. Maybe you don't feel like yourself anymore. Maybe you feel disconnected from yourself. You feel empty. You feel dead inside. Maybe it's a relationship that's gone sour and you just can't see that it will ever be the same again. Maybe God feels distant. He feels silent. You haven't heard him speak. Maybe it's a dream to marry that's fading, a dream to start a family, a dream to start a business. Maybe it's a dream to be successful in something. Maybe it's your health that's declining. Whatever it is, it's something that once had life. Maybe it's a vision for your children. And it once had life, it once had vision, but now it feels hopeless. It looks dead. And how did it get to this point? How do we get to a point where we have places in our life that feel like this? Well, maybe it's a bit like the Israelites, where it's your own foolish decisions, wrong choices, sinful choices that have led you to where you are now. The Bible says that sin causes death and destruction. It reminds me, recently I was at Bundura Square and I saw a couple trying to reverse out of a car park. It was a tight spot and they were right next to the trolley parking bays. And when they first did it, they scraped the whole side of their car. But then they kept going. And each time they attempted, the husband was directing the wife. Each time they reversed, they scraped the side of the car. Scraping, scraping, scraping. Parts of their car were falling off. It was madness. They're yelling at each other. It was just bizarre. But they were doing it to their own car. Like, who were they angry at? But some of our lives are like this. We make the same foolish mistakes. And it's causing us, it's causing other people pain. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just neglect that's got you here. You haven't focused on something. You just let it go. Maybe it's got nothing to do with anything you could have done or prevented. It's things outside of your control that have led to this. But either way, the bones are dead. The bones are dead. Maybe you've stopped believing, you've stopped praying that it will ever change. But it's at this moment when the bones are dry, the bones are scattered, they're not at all connected, when God asks Ezekiel a question. And maybe we don't want God to ask a question at this point. We just want him to give an answer. But he asks the question, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And he's saying that because he wants to know if we know, do you realize that I am the only one who can fix this? Do you realize, are you finally at the end of yourself? Have you finally, do you realize that your connections, that your money, that your efforts cannot fix this? That I am the only one who can bring life here. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Some of us aren't crying out to God yet because those bones aren't dry enough yet. We're not desperate enough yet. But one day we're going to realize that nobody else's prayers for us will fix this. That my own efforts won't fix this. That therapy won't fix this. That I need a touch from God. And sometimes God allows things to die in our life so that we will get desperate enough to see that He alone is God. In fact, sometimes God allows the odds to be stacked against Him. That situation gets real, real bad. And he doesn't do this to hurt us or harm us. He does it so that we will finally come to the end of ourselves where there's no backup plan. There's no plan B. Our only option is to cry out to him for a miracle. And when he moves in power, he will get all the glory and all the praise. Can these bones live again? What's Ezekiel's response to this question? He doesn't say no. He doesn't doubt God's power. But I also love that he doesn't say yes. Because I've grown up in church and I've heard all the cliches. Well, of course God is going to give you what you pray for. But I love that he doesn't give a Christianese answer here. He says in that same verse, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Only you know. I don't know your will, God, but you know and you are sovereign." You see, Ezekiel knew this looked real bad. This looked impossible. But he knew that even though this situation looked out of control, God was not out of control. He knew that God was sovereign. He knew that God, it says in Ezekiel 66 verse 1, God says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is under my control. The earth is his footstool. No one can limit God. No one can wall him in. He is not the God of the hard. He is the God of the impossible. He rules and he reigns over everything." God has never had a panic attack. He knows who he is and he is sovereign. And that's at times, that is our only sanity, that he is sovereign. In those times when we're saying, "God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know why you've allowed this. This makes no sense." But have you ever said this? "But God, I'm not God, but you are. And I don't know what you're doing, but you are sovereign. And I will cling on to that you are good and you know what you are doing. You can do anything. Yes, you can, God. You are sovereign." And God was happy with this response. God's like, "That's a good response. I think that's a pretty good response." So he says in verse 4, "All right, prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life." Prophesying to dead, preaching to dead bones. It sounds absurd, doesn't it? I mean, that's a tough crowd. I mean, you guys were a little bit tough this morning, but you weren't that dead, you know? But he's saying, prophesy to dead bones. The thing is, many of us do talk to dead things. We talk to our dead situations. We talk about our feelings. We think about it. We add our own thoughts in there. We talk about our feelings about it. But we don't speak the word of God over it. We need to stop commentating over our dead situations and start declaring God's word. Not what we see, but what he says. Because his word, John 6 verse 63 says, his words are life. My words are life. So we need to declare over your marriage, just despite what you see, come into alignment with the word of God. We are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, God, what you have joined together, let no one separate. Begin to speak over your children. My children are a heritage and reward from the Lord. They are like arrows in the hands of warriors. Speak to your health. I shall live and not die and declare the works of God. I will be healthy in my body as I am strong in my spirit. Begin to speak to your defeat. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The spirit which raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Speak to your shame. Where sin increases, God's grace increases much more. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of Christ. Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ who lives in me. Speak to your future and say, the Lord blesses me and keeps me. God, my Father, has plans to prosper me, plans to give me a hope and a future. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How different is that than speaking about just what is happening? We need to learn to declare God's life and promise over our dry bones. because no situation is so far gone that God can't breathe his breath of life into it. You know, a few weeks ago when I started writing this message, it just happened to be a pretty rough week for me. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise because a bit of insight. Whenever you decide to preach on a topic, you can expect as a preacher that you will get attacked in that area. And so it's always a dangerous thing. My dad's like, brave girl, start preaching on this topic. And so what happens is the enemy tries to discourage you, but then what God does is he uses that to get the message deeper into your spirit. It forces you to rely on him. And if you choose, of course, it's always a choice. So that particular week, I'm trying to write this message. It sounds really good, but I just felt this unusual heaviness. You know, whenever you experience something unusual, you've got to look at what's going on there. And so there was this unusual discouragement I felt. And so I was trying to just get through it, put it aside and write the message, but I just couldn't write it, couldn't write the message. And so I'm at home, I put my laptop aside and I'm like, okay, all right. Let's prophesy to these dry bones. I stood up and I began to just recite scriptures that I know. And that's a good thing when you know your word because it just comes to your mind. So I began to say, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. I am not forsaken. I feel abandoned right now, but I am not forsaken. You are with me. What was meant to harm me, God, you are turning it around for good. I declare life and not death. I declare life and not death. I declare life and not death over my future. And I didn't say this in just a little quiet voice. I prayed, I worshipped, I stomped around my living room and I refused to let my hope get swallowed up by what I saw in the natural. You see, sometimes, friends, we got to preach to ourselves. I'm not the only one who should be good at preaching. You need to be good. The Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to know how to build yourself up in the Word of God to begin to speak it. Begin to speak it. Yes, we acknowledge we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have fears. Acknowledge it before the Lord. But we must always bring it under the authority of God's Word. Acknowledge, this is God, what I'm feeling. But don't dwell on that. That's what I feel. But God, this is what your Word says. Let it have the final say over your life. And when we do that, something begins to shift. The atmosphere begins to shift. And what happens is we learn to discern in the spiritual and not just see what we see in the natural. We learn to see in the spiritual. You see, when Ezekiel was obedient, when he began to do what was absurd and speak to these dry bones, when he prophesied, he says, I heard a sound. He didn't see anything change yet, but he said, I heard a sound. Verse 7 says, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. You see, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you just wait for what you see, you will live by sight and not by faith. But if you live by what you hear, the word of God, then you'll begin to see into the spiritual. You begin to hear a sound in the spiritual. Think about Elijah in 1 Kings 18. He says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. That makes no sense. There wasn't any rain was coming. He knew it. But he didn't see even a cloud in the sky yet. He heard it. I hear a sound. I hear a rattling sound. I hear a sound of bones beginning to shake and move. You see, when we are hearers of the word, we begin to hear a different sound. We start to hear the sound of breakthrough before it even comes. Do you hear the sound of breakthrough coming for you? God begins to say, what's been rattling you? I'm about to rattle it. And those bones start coming from everywhere. They're flying off everywhere. What looked impossible, God starts to put it all together perfectly. He begins to form it. Then we have skin and tendons and flesh all coming together. And this is a miracle. This in itself is a miracle. There's still no breath because the spirit doesn't come until the bones start to move. The spirit doesn't come until the bones start responding to the word of God. Before the breath can come, There needs to be a form. The breath has to have something to fill. It can't fill bones that are all everywhere. The bones have to come together. There has to be bones and structure and organization. And what happens is that when we come under the Word of God, the transforming power of the Word of God, it brings structure out of chaos. It starts to bring formation into our life. And it starts to make way. The form makes way for the miraculous. It makes way for the breath of God. So what does this mean? It means we cannot have peace and order if we are not living under the Word of God. It means we cannot invite the Spirit and have the Spirit move in the miraculous if we are not living under the Word of God. For example, we might say, well, I just want to have God give me peace and give me supernatural abundance in my finances. But you refuse to tithe. You refuse to be generous to God's kingdom. You're not living within your means. That's not how it works. You might want to have a sound mind. God, I want to be able to discern in the Spirit. But you don't take captive your thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. You see, a lot of us want the Spirit to do all the work. But there is no, it's impossible to have peace and life and blessing flow where there is no godly order. Ooh, we don't like that, do we? But the good news is, when the bones start moving, when the bones start moving, when there's repentance, when we start, we're not talking about perfection or legalism here. We're talking about a life that is humbled before God, a life that says, I want to please God. It's not perfection. It's about, I need to bring my thoughts. I need to bring my emotions. I need to bring my lifestyle under the Word of God. I need to speak His words. Here, I need to prophesy His life over my situation. When we begin to do that, it may still look dead. There's still no breath, but the bones have started moving. The bones have started moving. You may still feel like a failure. You still may not be where you want to be, but you are not where you used to be. And God says what He has begun in you, He will finish. He will finish what He has started in you. And so the breath is getting ready to come because the bones have started moving. He wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. If I can invite the worship team to come up. Verse 9, now He brings it home. Prophesy to the breath and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds. That's saying come from the four corners. Come from every place on earth. And breathe into these slain, into these dead people, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So note the order here. God says, prophesy to the dead bones. Prophesy to yourself. Bring your life, your thoughts, your bring all of it under the powerful Word of God. And once that has begun, not that it's completed, but once the work has begun, then He says, prophesy to the breath. He says, now speak to me. Invite me to do what only I can do. You see, the word breath in the Hebrew is ruah, and it means breath. It means wind. It means spirit. It was the same breath of the Spirit that breathed life into Adam at the beginning. It was the same wind of the Spirit that filled the believers at Pentecost and brought tongues of fire upon them. And we need this wind. We need this breath, don't we? We need this wind now in the Spirit, a fresh fire, a fresh wind to come upon us. Because when the Spirit of Christ comes upon us, we dream again, we see again, we live again, we hope again. We cannot do it without Him. In John 11, 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, yes, He went on to resurrect Lazarus after this. We know that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We know that we will be resurrected from the dead. from the dead. But he was saying more than just this. He was saying, even if someone is dead in their sin, even if they have lost all hope, I can bring them back to life. Because when I fill them, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't just do resurrection, I am resurrection. I heard a story about a violent Japanese criminal. His name was Tokichi Ishii. This is in 1918. He was imprisoned and awaiting execution for a bunch of very brutal murders. While he was in prison, two Canadian women tried visiting him and sharing the gospel with him. But they say that he just scowled at them like a wild animal. And after several tries, they gave up. But they left him with a Bible. And this man, he eventually read the Bible. And when he read it and he came to the words of Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He says that something broke within him. And he writes in his memoir, he said, "I was stabbed to the heart as if pierced by a 5-inch nail. I believed and my hardness of heart was changed." But this man was still condemned to die. And they say that as he walked to his death, as he walked to the gallows that would take his life, he didn't look sad. He didn't look regretful. He said that those who witnessed him said it was like a miracle. As he walked to his death, his face was radiant and it was full of peace and life. Because although he was walking to his death, Christ had brought him back to life. The truth is, we don't know how, when, if God will answer our prayers the way that we've asked. We don't know. But make no mistake, he is the resurrection and the life. His Spirit can bring us back to life no matter what we have lost, no matter what you will lose, even if we lose our very life. He is the resurrection and the life. That is the promise for eternity. It is the promise for now. If we don't have the life of God flowing into our dry places, then it's either one or two things. Either we haven't come under the word or we haven't invited the Spirit. Because it says in Isaiah 43 verse 19, the Lord promises, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in dry wasteland." Even while you are waiting for your miracle, there is a promise for rivers of living water to flow to you. Jesus says in John 7:38, those who have received the Holy Spirit, he says, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. So the Spirit wants to continually fill us with his life. He wants to fill us with his presence. No matter if we're walking in that victory yet or not, we have access to rivers of living water. But we cannot live like this. We cannot live in a space where anything is possible, where our hope is always being filled up with the life of Christ, unless we live under the Word and under the Spirit. We need to continually yield to the power of the Word, to speak its life over our life, to come under its authority so that we can be holy and positioned for the miracle. We also need to yield to the surrender to the power of the Spirit, because he can do what we cannot do. He will do what we cannot do. So we need both. We need the wind and we need the Spirit. We need both. Maybe today, as we close, you say, "Alyssa, I don't think God can resurrect this in my life. I think he can do it for somebody else, but I just can't see how God can raise my dead bones." Maybe you've been lost, you've been depressed, maybe you've been out of the will of God a really long time. But remember, that Jesus can resurrect even the driest of bones and he can breathe new life. And he doesn't just do it for your sake. He doesn't just do it for you so that you're happy. He does it. He doesn't just revive us. He turns us into warriors, into an army. He fills us with his spirit so that we can be a strong army, ready to invade darkness with his light. That as we march in this life as warriors of God, that we do so filled with the power and the fire and the breath of God. So that not only are we free, but we are part of a movement that is setting others free by the power of Jesus Christ. Would you close your eyes this morning? Today, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? Forget about what I've said. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's saying something completely just for you, something personal to you. Do you need to become aligned in the Word? Do you need to start prophesying life over your dead situation? Do you need to invite the wind of the Spirit to fill you again with life and hope, to dream again, vision again? In a moment, I'm going to invite you to respond to the altar call. And if you have a situation that's not coming together, if you have a situation that feels disconnected, the bones feel all scattered, if you have a situation where in the natural it's not looking good, there's no hope, there's no life, you need an intervention from heaven. I believe today that as we move, that we're going to hear a sound in the spiritual. We're going to hear the sound of bones beginning to rattle, beginning to shake, and beginning to move into position. You know, sometimes people say, well, what's the significance of coming out the front? I'll tell you what it is. It's a step of faith. That's what it is. It's a step of humility to say, God, I need you. And it's a step of faith to say, God, I know you can move. I still know you can move. You know, when we stay in our seats sometimes, it's really a statement of going, I don't think God's going to do it today. I don't think God's going to do anything today. He didn't do it last time. He didn't do it the time before. But I don't know about you. I've got this urgency in my spirit that any day something's going to break. And I'm not going to miss out on what God has for me today. So if I was sitting in your seat, I'd be right at the front. You know, you see me I respond to every altar call. Why? Because I want to live by faith, not by sight. And so if you want to stand to your feet, this is what we're going to do at the front. We're going to come under the authority of the Word of God. We're going to come under the sovereignty of God. We're going to prophesy to our dead bones, our dry situations. And we're going to invite the wind of the Spirit to do what only He can do. We're going to sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Dry bones, come alive in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.